He might be able to produce something. Kane, now Grealish, and played wide. Shaw in there, and England are ahead. It's Raheem Sterling again, and England have the lead against Germany. More good work from him. Here's Jack Grealish playing it in there, and now Harry Kane breaks his European duck, and England are in dreamland. Party time in London for England. 55 years of hurt never stopped England dreaming. England beat their German jinx, and maybe for Gareth Southgate, exorcise those demons from 1996.
Oh, why, hello. Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, very objective.
Oh, sure.
Very calm.
Yeah.
No talk of it coming home. Fear not. Don't worry. Shaka Hislop with me in the studio, as is Frank LaBeouf, Stevie Nicol as well. Only England are the surviving countries, I suppose, out of all of us. Now, let's reflect exactly how they got it done against Germany for the first time in 55 years. It was a very defensive setup that Gareth Southgate named. 16 minutes in, though, Raheem Sterling with a chance. Manuel Neuer with a save.
Yeah, a save you'd expect Neuer to make. This comes from a long way out. It's well hit, but very savable for a keeper of Neuer's quality.
Germany then with the opportunity, 32 minutes on the clock. Really good chance here for Timo Werner, Frank.
Yeah, and having a little thought about the Chelsea fans, you know, in that matter, you know.
He's got to try and lift it, yeah?
Yeah, he has to chip. He's able to do so, and he's just kicking the ball, but we all know that he's not confident about those kind of actions right now.
So still goalless just before the break. Harry Kane had done nothing throughout this tie. Thomas Müller gives the ball away to Raheem Sterling. It kind of bundles its way to Kane, his first touch there, but Hummels makes the important interception, Stevie.
Yeah, I can't figure out whether this is a good or a bad touch. Because at the end of the day, he gets it round Neuer. Unfortunately for him, Hummels comes back from nowhere and makes a great challenge.
Into the second half we go. Jordan Pickford yet to concede a goal so far in this tournament. Does well here, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Kai Havertz.
Couldn't have hit this any better, Kai Havertz. Meets it sweetly, but it's just over the head of Pickford, but it takes an incredible reaction save.
Jack Grealish would be brought on with 20 minutes to go. He would almost have an instant impact as he would play the ball into Luke Shaw. Raheem Sterling there to make it 1-0.
Yeah, it's Raheem Sterling started the action and kept on going. And I like, you know, the personality of Grealish. He comes in, does the job, you know, and produces a fantastic assist.
So 1-0. England, of course, in heaven. Raheem Sterling has been superb in this tournament, always there when you need him.
Did you cut these tips?
What would you mean?
keep showing us all the goals all the time.
After that, you thought this was the moment in which England would throw it away. Mm. Raheem Sterling loses possession, Müller one-on-one. I still think this is going to go in, Stevie.
I know. Unfortunately,
unfortunately.
Germany, it doesn't. Listen, he's almost got everything right. He gets himself set up. He's already decided where he wants to put it. He just doesn't execute. That's the bottom line.
It was incredible. Really was. And then 3 minutes later, England seal the deal. Once again, getting some joy down that far side. Ball into the box. And it's Harry Kane, the much maligned Harry Kane, who'll make it 2-0.
He's not had many sights of goal all tournament long. But this time, finds himself in the right place at the right time. Great ball by Grealish to pick him out. That's a striker's dream of a finish. When you're struggling for goals, somebody puts it on a platter for you. Even if you're as good as Harry Kane, it was a welcome.
Wembley absolutely erupts. Some great celebrations all round. England 2, Germany 0 then is how it finishes. This is what Harry Kane had to say after the match.
Amazing day, amazing afternoon for us. Obviously a lot of pressure, a lot of build up to this game. We had a long time to wait. To perform and win 2-0, another clean sheet, and see Wembley as it was just incredible to be a part of. So we will enjoy it, but of course we'll be looking to get another result on Saturday and hopefully be back here.
And a clean sheet at the other end, Raheem scores again, and does it feel like a weight's been removed, or did you feel it was going to come?
Yeah, I mean, I've always said as a striker, just be ready for the next one. Whenever it comes, it might be 3 games, might be 5 games, it might be in the next game I'll get another one. It's just part and parcel of the job, you know, and I've always backed myself to take chances when they come. thankfully Jack put a great ball in and I was there to nod it home. So of course as a striker I love scoring goals. I want to be helping the team as much as possible, so it's nice to do that today.
Let's go to Wembley now, shall we, and join Alexis Nunes. Alexis, just take us through the last 15 minutes and the celebrations after the final whistle, because all the pictures I'm seeing is just jubilation from thousands and thousands of England fans.
Oh my goodness, Dan, absolutely. And the jubilation is still going on. Like I said, it's about over 3 hours now since the match finished and there are still fans here and there just lingering at Wembley, singing It's Coming Home. I think I'm going to wake up tomorrow with it like forever ingrained in my brain because that song is just catching on and I don't think they're going to stop singing it anytime soon. But when that Raheem Sterling goal went in, the place absolutely erupted. I got body slammed by someone who threw himself from three rows up and you know what, it did hurt, but I couldn't even complain because when I saw him hit the floor, he just got right back up and took off his shirt and carried on because it was pure jubilation. People behind me were crying. You know, you had fathers, sons, even kids as young as 8, 9, 10 years old. And like I said, I was looking at them and thinking, how can they really feel this hurt from 55 years? But they really do. You feel like this story of Germany being such a jinx for England has been passed down from generation to generation. And everyone was super nervous going into this one, even though I can kept even telling the fans, look, I think England should have this on paper. I mean, they do have such a deep squad. You feel that momentum is with them. They are at Wembley, even though we know Germany has such a good record at Wembley. But something in the air was different this time. And the fans, even though that they are known for being pessimistic and giving up on the team whenever things are not going their way, they were absolutely singing from start to finish, constantly edging the players back on, telling them to press, telling Raheem Sterling, just shoot. And I think that that second goal from Harry Kane, I mean, so many people just stood with their jaws on the floor. They couldn't even believe that they could score not one, but two goals, not just in a big competition right now, the way things have been going, knowing Gareth Southgate likes to play it safe, but especially against Germany. And it was unbelievable scenes at full time. And I think it's a game that I will forever remember. And I felt like I was English for the day.
Alexis, just give us a sense of occasion, how it's going to build now between now and Saturday.
Well, that's the thing. I still think even though we saw a brilliant performance today in terms of getting the win and dismissing this whole jinx that is Germany for England, and we do see that they are going to get Ukraine in that quarterfinal. I'm pretty sure England fans do fancy their chances against Ukraine and as well up against Denmark or Czech Republic. And it does look like a quote-unquote easy route for England to the final. They're still 50-50 and the pessimism, I'm sure, is going to creep back in come tomorrow, as England fans do say, because they have said, or some have already even told me that, look, things have been going perfect for England, but almost a little too perfect, and it will be very much like England to find a banana peel that is in the form of Ukraine or Czech Republic or Denmark. But really and truly, I think today a lot of people restored their faith again in Gareth Southgate, because you mentioned about how a lot of people were saying that it was too negative, that starting lineup once again. They really wanted to go and press the Germans and kind of beat them at their game, and even though they did it, they were like, you know what, stop being so safe. They really want a blowout game where they can say 4 or 5 goals. But I think Gareth Southgate just reiterated that, look, he's not here for the entertainment. He's here for the wins. They don't have to be cute, but look, he's down for tournament football and he's not changing anytime soon. He knows how to work his team. He knows them better than any of us know them. And I think they have full trust in their manager. So it is 50-50 still, but I think England fans are finally letting themselves feel a bit more hope that they could be in that final back here at Wembley. And look, I spoke to Raheem Sterling and he told me, once it's at Wembley, that's my backyard, I'm scoring.
Alexis Nunes, as always, thank you very much. Just a reminder as to why this was so significant when you look at the rivalry between these two sides. England haven't beat Germany since 1966. What happened then, Stephen? What happened in 1966?
I think it was my fourth birthday party.
That was the World Cup final, England winning.
Was it?
This game, if you didn't have a dog in the race, it wasn't great at all, considering all the drama we saw on Monday and all the excitement. This was all about, you felt, not making a mistake. And that was pretty much told by the Gareth Southgate starting 11, where there were 8 defensively minded players and only 3 attackers.
Yep.
So overall, do we give credit? We've got to give credit, don't we, to Gareth Southgate for getting it right? Or if he'd gone attacking, could they have won this with less... with less of a worry?
Listen, when you're put in a situation and you win the game, I don't care whether you stick 11 people on the line. If you win the game, then you've done what's needed to win the game, as daft as that may sound.
Right.
But I've got to tell you, if this game was destined to be 2-0, I'm glad Harry Kane scored, because Gareth Southgate, the way he set this team up, is not set up to help Harry Kane. You know, he's hardly had any opportunities so far in this tournament, and he gets one real one and he scores. Right. So I was glad to see that. But I tell you what, he's not doing him any favours. You know, you said it. You've got eight players, pretty much you know their job is to not let anyone pass. Mm. And basically you're leaving three to get on with. Well, two, because Harry Kane has got two centre-backs on his back the whole time.
Yeah.
So you're relying on two players. One's a kid, Saka. And then, of course, you've got Sterling, who had a bad end to the season with City, but in this tournament has been fantastic. That's his, third goal in four games. So, having said all that, they're still winning.
Yeah.
And I'm betting you that the team that steps on the field in the quarterfinal
right.
is going to be the same.
Just out of interest, if we spoke to Gareth Southgate before the game, would he have said, look, here's my plan up to 70 minutes. I'm going to then introduce Jack Grealish just to mix things up a little bit up top. And that's exactly what happened? Or is that in-game decisions?
Well, considering that he's done that before and it's been successful, then it's not a bad thing to fall back on.
Right.
How many coaching staff can say, you know what, this team we're starting is good enough to win this game. If things are not going well, or we need a goal, or we need to get forward quicker, or if it's something we have to do moving forward, he's the first guy off the bench.
Right.
And it worked again. So
if we look at the messages you sent me, Frank, most of them have got abusive language in, but there was...
I never do that.
There was one message that just said, boring.
Yeah, it was, in a way. As you said, if you're not German or English, you know, and you just watch the game, you know, I would say in a neutral way,
yeah.
There is no, you know, for me, excitement
no
in a way. But I would say that, talking about what you just say and putting Grealish on, it's absolutely fantastic for a coach to have a different options in the game. Mm. And it was very defensive, I would say. It wasn't a favour for Kane, that's for sure. But let's go back to that. If we can all agree that if you don't make mistakes, you won't concede a goal and you will have a chance to score. And and football is made of mistakes that you take opportunities for and try to score a goal. England made less mistakes than Germany today, and I would say offensively more than defensively,
they took their chances.
They took their chances because you had three clear chances for Germany
yes.
that we saw and three clear chances for England. At the end of the day, England scored two goals
yeah.
and Germany missed all their chances.
It's almost as simple as that, isn't it, Shaq? England took their chances and Germany
yeah.
didn't.
Yeah, without question, that's exactly how the game played out. My criticism around that, and it's always difficult to criticise a team and a manager when they win and they go through to the next round, is that this comes against as poor a German team as I have certainly seen in my lifetime. This is a Germany that crashed out in the group stage of the 2018 World Cup, that recently conceded six against Spain, lost against Macedonia, that was 6 minutes of going out, yet I believe Gareth Southgate's plan from drawn up a day ago, 2 days ago, was to introduce somebody with 15 or 20 minutes to go to change the game. Keep it tight up until then,
right.
and then play this game to win it in the last 20, which I find a weird approach against such poor opposition. Now, to Gareth Southgate's defence, you look at that England bench, and that changing of the game could have come in any manner. We're talking about Grealish now, but it could have been Sancho, Rashford, Mount, he can call on. When you look at who he can call on, he could have gone any which way. It worked for him, and he needs to be applauded for that. I just feel that when you have a team as talented as England,
yeah.
and when you come up against poor opposition, and despite the name on the shirts, this is a poor German team, you play the game to win it. You don't play to keep it tight and hope we get to 15 minutes to go and then hope for a miracle.
Let's welcome in, shall we, Jan Arger Fjortoft to the show. Jan, I said in the highlight, every time I see that Thomas Müller chance, I still think it's going to hit the back of the net.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But you know what Thomas Müller likes? He just likes to stumble in goals. He doesn't like these kind of goals. He just likes to be hit in the neck or something going in. But I agree with a lot of what you said, in there, but I'm also glad that Gareth Southgate is not a typical Englishman, because if he's out there just to entertain, ask the French at the moment. They are in Saint-Tropez now having a good time. They're not in the tournament. So England did today what England had to do. And I think that if you saw that, I talked to Thomas Tuchel before the Champions League final, and he said that one of the main things when he tries to do a starting 11, he will always think of who he can put on. And yes, I agree with Xhaka. There was a lot of players you could put on for England, but Grealish got that extra thing that he can take on people. He can take on people like Ginter, who wasn't a yellow card. He can kind of take them on. And when we saw the goals, so with Shaw, Grealish and Kane, it's like we'll see in here now. And I'm not agree with that the goal gets a need have to score. I think that is a brilliant technique from Harry Kane. Even where a lack of confidence, yes, he should score. Of course, Harry Kane should score. But there was a German team that got weaker and weaker, more and more tired. Is it the worst German team we've ever seen? Well, it's the worst team we've seen since they beat Portugal in a fantastic game. And then they were terrible against Hungary. So I think it's time now to say auf Wiedersehen to Joachim Löw, say hello to Hansi Flick, and they have to start all over again. Because I think, yes, we can criticize Gareth Southgate to don't put every offensive player on, but still, that German team need a restart, and I think England deserved to win today, even if Thomas Müller had the mother of all chances.
It's interesting, I think if we were to go back to the start of the tournament, I don't think anyone would have had Raheem Sterling to be the star of this England team. Mm. A player, of course, who didn't feature too much for Manchester City in the last couple of months. Obviously, a surprise star in what turned out to be a failure in the Champions League final. But he's been so key. Right place, right time, every time so far in this tournament for England.
I think the key for him has been that Gareth Southgate, regardless of what everybody was telling Southgate to do and how bad Sterling was playing for City towards the end of the season and how he shouldn't start. I even thought that myself that Rashford should have started. But Gareth Southgate has stuck by him. And you're seeing the benefit, or England are seeing the benefit of sticking by a player who every time he stepped on the field for you has produced. And that's sometimes what a coach has to do. Sometimes you'd make a decision that it's not about who's in form, it's about the guy who always comes up with the goods. And Sterling's come up with the goods again. 3 goals in 4 games. Doesn't get any better.
Meanwhile, from a German perspective, Frank, I know, as Xhaka said, it's the worst German team that we've seen for a long time. Mm. Yet, on paper, you look at that team, they're full of good players in that starting 11. Players that have won the Champions League with Chelsea recently. Players that have been so successful with Bayern Munich. Mm. So, when you look at the sum of their parts, they should be a lot better, shouldn't they?
They should be a little better. You know, it's always a question of chemistry, I would say. And form, you know, when you have somebody like Werner starting the game, and we all know his lack of confidence in front of the goal, and he showed it again today. Kai Havertz is able to give the best, but also also sometimes, you know, being inexistent.
Sorry, I just want Jan as a striker to talk me through what he should have done here. Jan?
It's a confidence thing, as Frank is saying, but you need to chip the ball there. He tries to chip the ball, but he's not 100% confident to do it. And you just have to make sure to take that chance. This a chance now with Thomas Müller. He tried to give Pickford the ice. So want to take him over. So he more or less does everything right. Take him over to the side. Look, it's so open.
Oh, my God. I still think it's going to go in.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. He's doing all the right things to get Pickford down on his left. And then it's just to put it in goal there. And Thomas Müller, this guy was a top scorer in the World Cup once. And he scored goals for fun for Bayern in the Champions League, in the Bundesliga. And Müller will not do his Golovsky kind of press conference after this thing. Mm. This is a big miss. Having said that, I'm reading all the German papers. They're more into a bit like the same discussion that we have in England now at the moment, is that they are too defensively, they should have put more, go for it more, and so on and so on. But the German media got Goretzka on, they wanted him on, they didn't want the 3 at the back, which ends up as a 5 at the back. We have Kimmich on the right side, so So I think it's good for a fresh start now for Germany.
I think going back to what I was saying, you know, Germany...
When I interrupted you.
Yeah, no problem. You know, Jan Fjordhoff, come on. You know, you have to let Jan Fjordhoff talking, you know. He's a legend. No problem. I think also
Stevie,
Germany...
what did you want to say?
No, Steve Nichols, come on. No, come on. I really think that look at the spine of Germany, you know, the vertebral column of Germany. All players have been absolutely fantastic, but Neuer, Hummels, Kroos, and Müller are players who are maybe at the end of a cycle.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it's the end of an era.
So, an end of an era. So it's understandable that maybe, and with Hansi Flick, something's going to change. But they would have won. They would have been clinical. We would have said, well, Germany is Germany.
Right.
They have no more chances than England, but they've done the job like they normally do and they've done for decades. And we would have said, well, you know, they keep on doing what they do. And like being good, like they've been against Portugal. It would have been a different analysis.
And Jordan Pickford once again keeps a clean sheet, Shaka.
Yeah.
A player that we were questioning a little bit, like Sterling, whether he should start.
Everybody's questioning Werner's finish. I thought it was a good save, but I see it through a different lens, I admit. I thought it was a great save by Jordan Pickford. But just as Steve was talking about with Raheem Sterling, this is Gareth Southgate. Regardless of what criticism, regardless of the form you show for club, if you've done it for him, he's going to keep picking you until you stop doing that. And the one thing you can say about Jordan Pickford is that he has been consistent and consistently good for Gareth Southgate in an England shirt, and he will keep faith. So while everybody discusses his Everton form and what that may mean for his future, Gareth Southgate, I never thought he'd waver. He didn't, and Pickford has rewarded him for that.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
England will then face the winner of Sweden against Ukraine. Sweden going into this game as favourites. Let's take you through exactly how this one played out. Let's take it into the 27th minute. Opportunity here for Ukraine to take the lead. Lovely little ball from the outside of the boot. Zinchenko is there to make it 1-0.
Yeah, this is some finish by Zinchenko. An incredible ball to pick him out. Zinchenko arrives late. He spots his space, runs into this, but even so, tight angle, and you don't hit a ball sweeter than that.
Yarmolenko with a superb assist there. Sweden looking for a response straight away.
That was a Isaac pass to Forsberg and a deflection, which surprised the goalkeeper. The target.
The deflection takes the ball into the back of the net to make it 1-1. Ukraine looking to restore their lead, denied by the post, Stevie.
Well, he's actually picked his spot and he's got a good clear view of it, but again, doesn't execute and comes off the outside of the post.
The post will play a big part, actually, in this game. Forsberg?
Yeah, just shaping this one around. You see him open his body up, but again, just clipping the outside of the post.
10 minutes later, Forsberg looking to bring it into the box. He does exactly that. Boom. This time the crossbar, Frank.
That's what football is, you know, full of details, inches.
Yeah.
And we try to analyse everything.
We do indeed. So we take it into extra time. Red card here. Danielson. Initially it was a yellow. The VAR would suggest the referee take another look at it. It's a red. Right decision, Stevie?
Not for me. I don't know what Danielson's supposed to do. Doesn't know the man's there. Plays the ball, the man carries on, in my opinion, the man carries on running,
It doesn't really matter if it's unfortunate. I mean, he almost broke his knee. I know we talked on off and we disagree, but
come on. Then it looked like it was going to penalty. And Dogbig is there to make it 2-1, Shaka.
This is a really good header. But as good a header as this is, glancing header, to find the winner, the ball in from Zinchenko. Oh. Goodness me, what a ball. Under pressure, running out of time. The cross alone made that goal. Ukraine deservingly.
Wow.
And the strength of that ball, that header, going through.
Incredible, then. Ukraine through to the quarterfinals, where they will face England in Rome. Jan, Ukraine, not many, I don't think, had them making it this far.
Now, I was thinking of Shevchenko. He was nearly start thinking of the penalty shootout in 2005 in Istanbul there at the end. And still Ukraine managed to do it. And I think we're, for all the English fans or the English player probably having a dinner watching the game, I think they were quite happy with what they saw, because after 120 minutes, there were players all over the pitch lying down. Sweden with 10 men then. Danielsson wouldn't have played in the quarterfinals anyway. But like Shaka said, it was a worthy winner for them. And Ukraine are slowly building up their game. Slowly, they want to keep the ball. They're a bit different than maybe the teams as England have played so far. England will be favourites, but they know their history and they know that they should never underestimate this team. Or hopefully, the English will, of course, they will go for it and they say it will be an easy thing. But Gareth Southgate need to analyse this game. A lot of good players from Dynamo Kyiv and Shakhtar Donetsk. So this is a team that should be taken seriously for England. This is not a walkover for them on Saturday.
Red card for you, Jan.
I understand what Stephen Nicholl's saying, because I've seen a lot of former players say the same, but I've checked the rule book, and this being first on the ball, that doesn't count anymore, maybe, unfortunately, but he nearly killed this guy, so I think that is a clear red card. Having said that, I don't like these slow pictures, because if you see the slow picture, there's a lot of red cards, but this was a bad tackle, and being first on the ball is not in the rule book anymore.
I can't even watch the picture.
What's Danielson supposed to do?
No, it's not the point, Stevie. It doesn't matter. Of course, he goes for the ball, but he takes the risk of catching him after getting the ball. And it doesn't really matter if he touched the ball and if he only played the ball. Nobody says that he wanted to hurt the Ukrainian player, but he did. And he did badly, because the guy went out. Maybe, I don't know, maybe his carry is over. We don't know the state of his knee.
I have to admit, at first I was a little bit on the fence with it. The more I saw it, the more I think this is red. And the reason I think this is a red is, even though this is kind of natural to what he's doing or attempting to do, you can't make that action when there are people around you. In much the same way that you say to somebody jumping for a header, if you're jumping for that header in a crowd, be sure to keep your arms down.
So you can't go for the ball?
If you're jumping for a header in a crowd, you say to somebody...
But you can't go for the ball. All he's done is go for the ball.
Well, let me finish, Steve. If you're jumping for a header in a crowd, you say to that person, keep your arms down, and because if you're in a crowd and you're risking your arms come up and you catch somebody, you see a red. In this same way, when there are players around you, though you're going for the ball, you've got to keep your studs down. You can't raise your leg above knee height, because you run the risk of catching someone, and if you do, you're going to see a red. And that's why, albeit I understand why you think you do, as I say, I was on the fence to start with, but the more I saw it, the more I felt that it had to be red.
Thank you.
So then, you take a look at the bracket. It will be England against Ukraine.
Well, they're in final. They're in final. They play against Ukraine, they win, they're going to play against Denmark and Czech Republic.
It's that French arrogance the reason that you're...
No. He's just teasing you, exactly.
You're so superstitious. You're scared when I say that.
Oh, France, Switzerland. That's not a problem.
Look at us, we're 3-1 up.
Stevie, as a Scotsman, you must love looking at this bracket.
Honestly. Can I get a few more days off? Especially with England play. I mean, seriously, you couldn't dream of getting Ukraine in the quarter and then Czech Republic or Denmark in the semi. You couldn't dream better.
Yeah. So, the final.
Right, just wait.
Now, Dan's West crying Jets. Because no, Dan no, knows no. that they've made a mess of it many times before.
Many teams have made mess
of it. But inside, if he told you the real truth, he actually is thinking we're in the final.
Of course.
Yeah, and I'm definitely not thinking that. I'm thinking, how are we going to find a way of mucking this up?
He's scared.
No. England's not through. Frank is just teasing you.
Yeah, of course. Of course,
no,
you're right.
But I honestly think, because like Frank said about Germany, you just expect them to go through because of the culture. Now England has done one thing that have pained them like for 55 years. Now is the next step, to think you're not in the final. They play in Ukraine, they could be knocked out, because yes, that is it. Typical English way to kind of go after a big win like Germany. That's what they've done since 55. 74, 78, they weren't even at the World Cup. They lost against Poland at home in the qualification in 74.
Preach, this is the next step
for Germany. Exactly. The best example is
France yesterday. If you think you're going to go through before the game.
Yeah.
I put that up 2 minutes ago.
It's 100%, you know, the culture. Because the truth is, you're scared to win. You're scared to go and play.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's part of the English culture. It's part of the British culture, in fact.
Yeah.
Not just England, but Scotland as well. So you're up against that also. Yeah. And you've also got a manager who would rather just not take any chances rather than take a little tiny chance. So throw it all in the mix. And that's why you mess it up.
Exactly.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Belgium taking on Italy. They will take on the winners of Switzerland against Spain. Many were thinking it was going to be France against Spain. Of course, France losing on penalties against Switzerland. What's the front page of L'Équipe? I think we have it here, Frank. How would you frantic?
You see the pictures on the floor.
I tell you what, never has there been so much demand for one person to be on the show. As we welcome in Julien Laurent to the programme.
Morning.
24 hours after the night before. Very apt.
He has his tissue.
He is in black. Jules, just sum it up, your feelings over the last day.
First, this is Navy. Not black.
Right.
And you're grumpy. So happy you even tweeted that I was coming on the show. You were also happy. Oh, breaking news. Jules is on the show tonight. Hey, this is going to be fun. This is going to be a party. I know you. I thought you were a friend. That's what I'm saying.
Colleague, Jules.
Yeah, colleague. Listen, I've just stopped crying, to be fair. I'm just slowly dissecting what happened. I mean, I destroyed Didier Deschamps on our website this morning with a piece, because I think that, of course, the players should have done better, not just against Switzerland, but through the whole competition. Of course, there was a lot of complacency. Remember, after the Hungary game, we said, hey, they can't have those slow starts because eventually they won't be able to come back. After Portugal game, we said, hey, it was another slow start. They have to be careful. And what did we see against Switzerland? Another very slow start. Deschamps is to blame for the formation, but not only. And I think complacency played a big part at 3-1 up. They thought they had won the game already. I don't understand, and will never understand, the choice of taking off Antoine Griezmann at the end of a game like this, when you need a bit of control and put your foot on the ball and to bring on Moussa Sissoko on. I will never get that. And then we hear stories now of families of players clashing in the stands, the Rabiot family and the Mbappe family and the Pogba family, and just going like, this is something else.
Wow.
And I think, unfortunately for us, the what follows now, it could be a very long hangover.
Yeah, very much so, Jules. These are new stories that are breaking. Kylian Mbappe, of course, missing the key penalty. What has the attention on him been like?
It's been heavy, I have to say. I mean, anyone can miss a penalty. If he hadn't put his hand up to take the fifth one, the last one, as a leader of that team, I would have been very disappointed. I think leaders should be there to take the fifth penalty. He can win you the game, he can lose you the game, and he certainly lost us the game. But that's what you expect from your best players. And I see nothing wrong about Mbappe wanting to take the fifth penalty. He missed it. Michel Platini, Leo Messi, Roberto Baggio, a lot of big players had missed penalties before in World Cups or in Euros. It can happen. It was a summer save. He saved the ball. Good. I mean, we can always discuss what Mbappe could have done better during the whole game. There's that big chance in extra time. I still don't understand now why he went on his left foot and not even had a touch, and then curly with his right foot, which we would all have done, even us who haven't been playing like you guys. But I think it was really harsh to just fall on Kylian Mbappe and say he's the scapegoat, he's responsible, it's his fault if we lost that game and if we're out, because I really don't think it was.
Jules, I know we can make a lot about these things, but something that struck me looking at those pictures back, that no one was really... No one had an arm around Mbappe. No one seemed to be saying it's all right. Like, what's been said about that?
Yeah, there was a few. If you watch, I watched it again. You have Lucas Digne, you have Sissoko, you have a few of them coming, and then he walks straight into the dressing room. In fairness, straight to the tunnel, and then in. His bromance with Karim Benzema was very strong, and maybe others felt that was too strong in a way, that he was very much them too. Certainly when it came down to attacking options and attacking link up and build a play, and that maybe Griezmann felt a bit left apart. And again, we saw in that game, Griezmann is the first one to come off. Griezmann was and has been the attacking leader of this team for the last two tournaments. He was amazing in 2016. He was excellent in 2018, winning the World Cup in a slightly different role, maybe more of a playmaking role than a goal-scoring role. But he was clutch at that tournament. And 3 years on, now he felt a bit on the fringe. Yeah, OK, he scored a goal against Hungary, which was an important goal, but that was it, really. And I don't know how he felt. Maybe he felt a bit of animosity. I don't know. Maybe others did that too. I think what we saw, again, going back to the clashes in the stands during the game between Rabiot's mum, Mbappe's dad, Pogba's brother, this is not good. And I wonder if maybe there was more underneath that as well than just those three families clashing.
Frank, this is almost like playground politics. Two best mates hogging the ball or making others feel bad. You can't imagine that can then transcend to international football on the biggest stage.
Yeah, that's really appalling and gives a very bad image of France and the way we educate our kids. And really, hopefully, we'll have some hearing about the people who just did that, because I said yesterday, you don't win a competition if you don't stick together.
Right.
If you don't know how to work together and sacrifice for the other. Clearly, there were some tensions. I agree with, with Jules about the fact that Didier Deschamps made maybe a mistake putting out Griezmann instead of Sissoko. I completely disagree with Jules when he says about the fifth shooter is for the leaders. No. If you're a leader, you shoot first. Second, if you have two leaders, you show the way. The fifth position is the position for the stars, to get the glory, to get the sparkles. And Ronaldo is doing that. Kylian Mbappe is doing that. Platini at the time was doing that. But it's not the position of a leader. It's a sparkle.
Really?
Yes, that's for me.
Can I just pick up on that? Is that fair?
Yeah, I'll be honest, I wasn't actually particularly listening to that. I can't get my head around why everybody's got a problem taking Griezmann off with 2 minutes to go. He's 5'2", you bring on a 6'4" giant, because the only way you're going to lose a goal is a ball flung in the box.
No, but at the end of the day, to get a conclusion of that, the formation of Didier Deschamps, I don't care about the fact he played three at the back. It's how the animation of the game is dealt by the players. They, at the end of the day, they could have been five at the back. Rabiot was on the left side also, and Pavard also. So it's not because of they play at three that they conceded a goal. You know what I mean? And we have three of the best strikers in the world, let's say, or the best forwards in the world, and they barely score goals. Benzema, okay, he has excuses. He scored two goals. But what did he do for an hour? And what did he do after the 20 minutes of the craziness of France coming back to their best? That's the reality of it. France weren't good enough yesterday, doesn't deserve to go through because of the what they showed. You know, that's absolutely fantastic. And only a fantastic player can do that. But we want to see consistency, right. You know, and hard work from everybody.
Jules, just going back to a point that Frank said that he said maybe wasn't as relevant as I know you think is, the fact you've got someone like Rabiot playing on the left of a five.
I mean, that was nonsense. I disagree with Frankie on this. The back three is one of the most stupid errors that Didier Deschamps has ever made as a manager. Going with that back three, having not worked on it whatsoever, apart from a little bit the day before the game, putting Clément Lenglet as a third centre-back when you never used him, not just in these Euros, but also in the two friendlies that you had before the Euros, not even 1 minute. Not even, the guy never played. He only trained for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, he never played as a defender.
And I'm telling you, it's a good thing.
What are you saying, Jules? I mean, I play three, I play four, I play at five at the back. Really, I don't get what you said. You know, a defender is a defender. Wherever tactics is going to be from the coach, you're going to be able to deal with that. I mean, I play with Steve Nicholls, played the highest level ever. He doesn't care if they are three, four. It's the animation of the thing. You are trying to find excuses to explain why France lost. They lost because they didn't work enough, because they didn't stick together, and because they didn't do the job. That's it. It's not because of the... No. Well, I don't try to defend
the setup
Deschamps.
Was wrong from kickoff. The setup was wrong. Don't tell me the back three was a good idea.
It's not football and it's not chess.
The back three was a good idea. Lenglet had not played a football game in 6 weeks. In 6 weeks, yeah, but he had not played a football match.
You have a problem on the left side because you have two players injured. You have to deal with the thing and the emergency thing. And Lenglet plays for Barcelona. He doesn't play for, I don't know, West Hartford. Fantastic city in New York, close to New York, but completely unknown. You know what I mean? He plays for Barcelona.
He was so bad, he was taken off at half-time. Because it was clearly not working. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, but again, Jules, they were leading 3-1.
That's the question.
They were leading 3-1, playing badly. How come you can let another team, Switzerland, with all due respect, coming back when you're world champion?
This is like the French camp.
That has to be the question. You can't complain about the team on the field when they're 3-1 up with 10 minutes to go. All the stuff that Jules is talking about with the infighting, with the families, the whole thing, that's the reason why they got beat.
Really?
Absolutely, because at 3-1, with the experience, with the quality, with everything that they have in the French team, the starting 11 and the bench and Deschamps himself, at 3-1, you shut up shop and you come together and then you work. It's called running. It's called chasing. Particularly, it's easy when you're 3-1 down. To run harder, run faster, because you've no choice. The good sides, they do it all the time when they're 3-1 up to make sure that it stays at least 3-1, and maybe they can make it 4-1. So that's where your problem is. Not who he started, not the shape of the team. It's about the characters in the team that thought that it was about them themselves and not the team.
A lot more from Jules and his reflections.
I love you, Jules.
He does.
Me too. I love you too.
Oh, God. No, you don't.
Jules is sitting with us.
Just a reminder, the Gavin Jules podcast, the latest edition, will drop on Thursday.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Galactico is available over on our ESPN streaming platform. Be sure to check out a brilliant documentary looking into that extraordinary time for Real Madrid. Julien Laurent is still with us. Jules, as we stand, Wednesday's the day, isn't it, when Messi should sign his new contract?
It should be. I'm not sure if it will be done or certainly if it will be announced, but it seems that everything is pretty much ready, that they're ready to announce it, that he's agreed to it. We think that it involves him at some point playing in MLS and then coming back to the club and to the city of Barcelona as a sort of ambassador once he retires fully from football. It's been a saga, in fairness, for a year now because of what happened a year ago when he wanted to leave and when, obviously, the field of facts and every, you know, all of that. Up to now, Joan Laporta, I think, would be delighted to keep Messi at reduced wages too. They had to anyway. They had to cut his wages, which they did. And now you can already be thinking about next season, trying to win Copa America first and then thinking about next season with Barcelona.
The plan for Barcelona overall is obviously to try and make some money by selling some of their big-name players. Dembele got injured. They're not going to be able to sell him. Griezmann is terrible, can't even finish a game these days. They're getting subbed. Going to struggle to get rid of him as well, Jules. It's a big problem for them.
It is, because right now, as we mentioned before, they've got so many forwards. I think they could play with Ter Stegen and then 10 forwards in the rest of the outfield team, which would be crazy. I mean, imagine Dembele at right back, Trincao at left back, you know. I wonder if we could have maybe try Aguero at centre-back. It would be pretty special, to be fair, from Ronald Koeman. They will have to sell. The problem is this market will be very, very difficult. And especially, why would you go and buy those players anyway? Who would think, hey, it's a good idea to go and get the ones who underperformed at Barcelona last season, who are out of favour at Barcelona? So good luck to them, but they have to sell.
Frank's agreeing with you now, trying to be nice.
Don't get involved.
Jules, Cristiano Ronaldo, what's going to happen?
Sign for Barcelona.
Well,
he's going to replace Ter Stegen.
Two players at number six. Jorge Mendes is trying really hard, trust me, to see if other clubs could be interested in taking Cristiano away from Juventus. We know that Juventus have the door pretty much open if someone comes in and gets him, or wants to get him, and they can certainly then negotiate and try to find an agreement that will please everyone in terms of, you know, a small transfer fee, for example, but certainly getting rid of him would mean saving all that money in terms of wages. But the problem is, for now, I don't think there are many candidates to get Cristiano. Of course, he can always go back to Sporting, but it would not be under the same terms. And certainly, I don't think they could be ready to pay anything for him to get him away from Juventus. So it's a tricky one. In the end, Max Allegri might want to keep him, might be happy to keep him. They could play with Dybala behind him or play a 4-4-1-1, for example, which could work, I guess, with Cristiano as kind of on his own up front, but not so much on his own. But I think Juventus would probably be more willing to sell him than to keep him.
Meanwhile, a bit out of left field, Crystal Palace linked with Patrick Vieira. Mm. Do you like this, Frank?
Yes, I think it's, I would say, one step forward to go to Arsenal at some point.
Right. What sort of reputation did he garner at Nice?
A very good one. It was difficult for him. Nice is in a transition, and they got the coach of the champion of Ligue 1, Galtier. And it was a time for Patrick to grow up again, come back to the best champion, the best championship in the world, I think, and start with a decent team. Would deserve to be in a better position, I think, that they have the player for, and maybe one day end up for a big team, and maybe Arsenal will go back to their prime.
Does this make sense for him and for Crystal Palace, Jules?
I've got mixed feelings. One, because it's a hell of a job. Half of the Palace squad is out of contract. There's a huge rebuilding job to do there. not just in terms of recruitment, but even going forward and building a squad, full stop, and then building a team out of that squad, which I don't think will be easy for Patrick at all. He wanted to come to the Premier League. For him, this is the best league. This is the main ambition. And I think for Palace, he's a bit of a gamble in a way because he's never coached in England, although he played here for a long time, but it's different to then become a coach here. At Nice, there was good things and not so good things. It was a bit up and down, although the results, 7-8, were not too bad eventually. But in terms of identity and style of football, he's still working on it. It's still a process, really. So good luck to him. I mean, I really hope it can work. Great fans, it's a great football club, but I feel it's a bit of a gamble for both for Patrick and for the club itself.
Back to international football with you, Jules. Of course, we saw Argentina guarantee top spot in their group after a convincing victory against Bolivia. Messi getting on the score sheet once again. They seem to be flowing. Obviously, Bolivia have been the whipping boys of the group, but again, they're looking good.
They're looking really good. I have to say that game against Bolivia, they were fantastic. Messi was exceptional on the day where he beat the record of the most capped Argentina players, just going one above Javier Mascherano. And I think he wanted maybe to prove that he didn't have to play that game. Argentina were already through. They still had to make sure that they finished top of their group, but he could have been rested. But no, he wanted to play, and it was outstanding. We saw more rotation on other positions, and I think that's it's been certainly very good from Scaloni to use pretty much everyone, to get everybody involved. Everybody's committed, really, and now it's the quarterfinals. This is really when this Copa America starts now for Argentina, for Brazil, for all the big boys. And I think that certainly their quarterfinals should be a good one against Ecuador.
Yeah, most certainly should. Meanwhile, a huge win for Uruguay regarding their position in the bracket. Just the one goal in their game against Paraguay, Cavani with a penalty.
Yeah, and Luis Suarez, who was not playing in that game, Cavani taking charge, responsibility. They played well too. I thought it was a more convincing performance than maybe some of the ones that we've seen so far in the competition. And as always, they will always be tricky to play against. And they've avoided the last place of their group as well because they could have finished fourth. Instead, it's Chile who will play Brazil in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Jules, let's just confirm then how the groups finished. Argentina then top, Uruguay, Paraguay and Chile all qualify in those respective positions. Bolivia out. So let's take a look at how things stand. It will be Argentina against Ecuador on Saturday, Uruguay, Colombia, Brazil, Chile, Peru against Paraguay. You look at those quarterfinals and Uruguay-Colombia just leaps off the page, doesn't it, Jules?
Yeah, this one would be fantastic. Colombia, maybe, we know James Rodriguez, by the way, maybe not as the top Colombian team that we've seen in recent years, but still with a lot of talent there. And with Uruguay, as we mentioned, they have been a bit up and down so far, found it in this Copa America, but when they're on their game, when they're on their day, they are very, very dangerous. So this is a good one. The Peru-Paraguay one will be very interesting, like will be Brazil-Chile, because Chile is still the old guard for much of it, but they're still very dangerous at times. They've been very efficient with Vargas up front. And Brazil have been very commanding. We said Neymar looked like a man on the mission. Tite rotated a lot, the team, a bit like Scaloni did. Everybody is involved, everybody has played. They've got a great team spirit. It's going to be, I think, fantastic four games into the quarterfinals.
Julien Laurent, thank you very much. Should be cracking, shouldn't it? The knockout finals is where it kind of gets going in Copa America. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you. Shaq, I feel like you haven't spoken for quite a long time.
That's fine. I'm okay.
Thank you very much to Jules, to Jan, to Alexis, to Shaka, to Frank and to Stevie. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. The boys answering your questions. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you as always for your tweets.
It's all questions for you.
No, why are we questions
about
for me?
England and how you feel.
And the first question, is it coming home, Stevie?
Oh.
That's from Dan. Dan, the blue jacket man.
Stevie, how much would you hate it if England won?
You couldn't.
Worse than Shepherd's Pie with sweet corn?
I would actually, if somebody gave me a choice.
Right.
Of eating that or England winning. I would eat that.
Medium rare steak?
Oh, anything. Pretty much.
Month without beer.
Even.
No.
Escargot.
Wow. Even.
Well, you don't touch the escargot.
No, I'm the French. No, I'm Stevie.
You name it.
You would do a month without beer.
Rabbit.
To see England lose.
Aye.
Wow.
Wow.
Stevie.
Aye. Wow.
That is hatred.
Wow. Hold up. If England do lose, you have to do a month.
That's it.
If England don't win the Euros, you have to do a month without beer now. It's committed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go.
What have you done? What have you done to
me? Breathe.
Go up, man. Just go up, man.
Is Shaw the most underrated player on the England national team, Frank?
I would say so. I think he had a very good season, and people are still, you know, debating whether he should be.
I don't know. Are people debating that much?
Well,
just because Mourinho hates him doesn't mean that everybody else does.
Yeah, I don't know, but we're saying, you know, we should play Chilwell, him. I think he had a great season and he completely deserved to be in the first 11.
What do you think, Shank?
I think the most underrated player is the goalkeeper, Dan.
Oh, that's a union kind of stuff.
Did the inclusion of Benzema in the French squad disrupt the team chemistry?
Ooh. Well, some people are saying that. That's a real question in France right now, because as Jules is trying to do as well, they're all trying to find an explanation of why.
Yes.
We've been kicked out.
Jules isn't here. You can't have a go at him again. You did that.
No, but he's better. He can respond to that. So the thing is, we think that Benzema did his job, wasn't perfect. I wasn't in the dressing room, so I don't know how it worked.
Right.
But
what about the stories of the families fighting?
That's another problem.
Rabiot, Pogba.
Well, it's not Benzema's family. So it's others' family.
I don't know if I've thought of any. We had that before, families fighting in the stands.
Kids have those problems with the parents at the nursery school, or maybe, you know.
Yeah, I've seen it at soccer games with my boys.
Yeah. Parents fighting. Why my son doesn't play, and why, you know.
Wow.
How it happened, but that's shameful.
Wow.
Really?
Have you been fighting other parents, Dan? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
You know me.
little
man, angry.
Can't think you anyway.
Golf course Dan comes out. Frank, which is a harder pill to swallow for the French people? The loss yesterday or the group stage exit in 2002?
That was a big shocker when we kicked out, but this was after winning everything.
Right. Were you in that 2002 squad?
Yeah. I got injured after the second game, but we played the third game. I tried to recover, but we've been kicked out. But it was a shocker because we really wanted to gain again the World Cup. But, you know, they've tried, after winning the World Cup, try to do the same thing that we did, winning the World Cup, then the Euro.
Right.
And it's a hard thing and a hard task to do. And I think it was more shocker in 2002 than it's going to be now, because we can't find anybody guilty. They had a bad game.
Right.
It was a day off, let's say. A bad day. And the thing is, you can't find an explanation. It's just football.
Right.
They didn't do what they had to do to go through. That's it.
Shaka, how hard is it for a goalkeeper to regain confidence after making a mistake in the same match? Should Unai Simon be praised for keeping his head?
Absolutely. Especially that kind of an error. Mm. That is a really difficult one to deal with. I think it was also telling that immediately after the error, a couple of defenders come back and just give him a kind of pat on the shoulder and pick things up. When that happens and then the team responds and goes on to win, I think it's as a goalkeeper, it's easy to kind of put behind you and then to just say, well, it's one of those things, and thankfully it didn't cost us.
Right.
That costs you. I don't know how you recover. If you crash out of the tournament because of that, I don't know how you recover from
it. Did it happen to you once? Something like that?
No.
No?
I never tried to control the ball. Ball came, I just kicked it where I was.
What surprised me more than anything was that the player, the defenders, just kept bashing at him.
Right.
Yeah. They just kept hitting at him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure if I was one of them, I would think to myself, you know what, I'm just going to let this go, because this guy might need 5 or 10 minutes to calm down. But 2 seconds later, they were bashing it straight back at him.
Yeah, is that the right thing to do? Like, clearly...
It depends on the goalkeeper, I guess. Right. I guess if you've got a goalkeeper who you know is solid,
yes,
who's just made a mistake, and you think he can get over it.
Right.
But if it's... If it's a guy who's got a bad touch anyway, if it's a kid, then you certainly have to think about it.
Well, you say that you have to go back on the horse on the...
Yeah, exactly. You know, get back on the bike.
On the bike, yeah. So I guess you have to be very confident. But again, for me, it's not only the goalkeeper's fault.
Yeah, you want to blame Pedri, don't you?
No, because I want to say that you, the first, as defenders, the first thing you if when you do a back pass, you have to give it on the side to make sure that if there is a mistake, there is no goal.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, fine. I didn't choose this question, Stevie.
Shaka's first. Shaka's first before we throw Stevie under the bus. Question for Shaka. Since France against the Netherlands final is not happening, that was your prediction, who are the new finalists?
Well, the new finalists, I'm going to go Italy and anybody but England.
Why do you hate England as well?
No, I just want to see Steve go a month without beer. That would be highlight of the tournament for
me. That's clever. Imagine how angry you'll get.
That would be so good. Oh, no. It'd be so good.
Yeah. Okay. Can a certain Scottish Liverpool legend raise their hand and apologise to the Czech Republic for saying they had no quality players?
Did I actually say they had no quality players?
I think we were doing a preview and you were very much poo-pooed their chances.
Yeah, because in the warm-up games and all the games leading up to the tournament, they were absolutely hopeless.
So do you apologise?
And the fact that they didn't... Well, they don't have any...
It depends where you put the quality on.
Patrick Schick has been quality.
Defensively, they had quality.
Patrick Schick's a guy who's had a great tournament, but he's also a guy who all the big teams around the world have fancied, but then actually don't fancy him because he's kind of in and out.
Right.
You've got Souček at West Ham, who's had an incredible season, but he's a big, strong boy who's had a great 7 months in the Premier League.
But they've proved quality in this tournament, haven't they?
Well, it depends where you put the level.
Just apologise, TV. Just apologise. It's okay.
Yeah, we've been sitting killing England, right? Have they been any different to England?
But England have got quality players? And
England's got way more quality players than the Czech Republic have.
Right, but
I'll tell you what, if England plays Czech Republic tomorrow, or in the semi final.
Yes.
Who do you think is going to be the best team?
Right, well, we'll find out.
Well, there you go. You know exactly. Who do you think is the better team? You're already in final,
I told you.
I think Czech Republic are a better team. They've been
I may have put it the wrong way.
Political.
It's not that they don't have some good players.
Quality.
They don't have any real...
Artists.
Yeah.
They don't have an artist.
What a word.
But they like that, you know, in the media.
That's a nice word.
They don't care.
About to say that word, but you got me.
Yeah, that is it. It's a rest day, isn't it, in the European Championship?
Did Steve apologise?
No, he didn't.
I think I'm going to have tomorrow.
I'm very sorry to all the Czech Republic supporters.
Beautiful.
Bravo, Mr.
Angry,
you apologize.
Bravo. Come on,
Frank, are you here tomorrow?
I'm here, yeah.
Wonderful.
Me too. I'm here.
Everyone's here.
I thought I would have been kicked back to France, but I'm still here.
I'll be off. Until tomorrow, goodbye.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.